Well, welcome once again, everyone. Glad you're here on a beautiful, I guess it's not technically fall yet, is it? We're getting close. But certainly, as some of you may have recognized, the leaves are starting to turn. And boy, what a beautiful scene that is, right? The message today is titled, The Gospel of Grace. People think about, what do you mean, Gospel of Grace? Well, Paul, when he was writing, and parts of the book of Acts represent what he wrote, he said, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task that the Lord Jesus has given me. The task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Interesting, you know, Jesus Christ, when he came to this earth, he came and it says he came to preach the kingdom of God. Paul is now saying, my task is to talk about the good news or to preach, make people aware of the good news or the gospel. That's all the word gospel means is good news, is the good news of God's grace. We speak and hear of the good news of salvation, the good news of the kingdom, the good news of eternal life. And then Paul talks about the gospel of grace. And the gospel of grace includes the gospel of the kingdom. It includes the gospel of eternal life. It includes the gospel of salvation. So the question is, what does the gospel mean? What are the gospel of salvation? Salvation of what? Or from what? Well, it's very clear in John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, it says, everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. And I think I forgot a scripture here. Yeah, I did. So please pardon me. The most important scripture of the moment is in Romans 6, verse 23. He says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So now this scripture makes sense. Because if the wages of sin is death and we get the gift from God of eternal life, we ought to know what sin means. And John makes it very clear, everyone who sins breaks the law. Well, what's the law? Is it just the Ten Commandments? No. God made it very, very clear in the book of Deuteronomy, part of which Frank read today, that it's the law of love. Loving God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and loving your neighbor as yourself. That's the law. The law of love. That's the law we're asked to obey. And so, the gospel of salvation is that we are saved because as sinners, if we weren't saved by the gift of God, the alternative is death. But we're told that we are saved to a better life. John read at the beginning of this service in John chapter 14, where Christ says, I have prepared a place for you to be with him for eternity. That's what salvation means. It's to be with Christ. He has prepared a place for us. Basically, you can say he's got your name written down. You know, if you wanted to go to a big feast, your nameplate would be right in front of you. That is the place Christ has for you. So then the question then is, well, how do we get there? How do we receive this salvation? What do we do about this gift? Well, the Pharisees at the time, time of Christ and up till then, and we're teaching only one thing. They were saying that you have to change how you behave. You have to be obedient in every little detail of the law. would make you more righteous, and you would eventually earn God's acceptance and love. The better you behaved, the more love you earned from God. They would look down on sinners, and salvation only came by obeying the law. And even today, for those, you know, this law, they went and they expanded it, and they created all kinds of other things that go along with it. I can't remember the exact number, but to observe the Sabbath, there were 600 additional laws that went with it. How far you could walk, what you could eat, and what was work, what was not work. It was craziness, but that was what was taught, and that's what was believed. Others today believe that salvation comes from doing good deeds. You just got to be a good person. Doing a lot of works, donating a lot to different funds, philanthropy, make some large donation, start a foundation, be a nice person, work in a soup kitchen, do community service 10 hours a month. And there's nothing wrong with doing any of those things, by the way. That's perfectly right. In Matthew 25, it says, here are all the things I expect you to do as a Christian, to take care of the needy, to feed, to hunger, to clothe, to visit. But that doesn't earn you salvation. That doesn't get you there. How do we get there? It doesn't come from reading self-help books. There's also what I call the Nike religion. Well, you just do it. You know, that doesn't work. It doesn't get your salvation. See, there's only, and when I talk about salvation, and we use, and I've said this before, I know, when we talk about eternal life, we're talking about eternal life in the kingdom where there is no tears, where there is no pain, where there is no suffering, where there is no sickness, where there is no disease, where there is love. It's eternal life is in the kingdom with Christ. When somebody says eternal life, they mean in the kingdom with Jesus Christ for eternity. And he's got a lot of things for us to do. That's another message later. So the only way that we are able to receive and have this salvation is by having our sin removed. Well, ever tried it? Ever tried to get through a day where you've lacked love, got into a bit of a discussion with your other with your spouse, where things just weren't right? Lack of love. So here's how we do it. It's in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's what Christ did. That's why he came from heaven, lived on this earth for over 30 years, taught about peace, he taught about love, he preached the kingdom. And then he died on the cross and paid the penalty for our sins. And then he was resurrected to show that we too will be resurrected. You know, if Christ had not been resurrected, we can't be resurrected. It's very simple. But he came and showed us. He came and he died for us to pay the penalty for our sins. And he did more than that. He did more than that because in Isaiah, he says, I am he who blots out your transgressions or sin for my own sake, for his sake. Okay. And he says, I remember your sins no more. Total wipeout. It'd be like taking the record of a criminal in a prison and just putting it in the paper shredder and that's it. It's all gone. It's all gone. It's more than just paying the penalty. It's we have the hard time forgetting our sins. Christ has forgotten them. The minute. It's a very simple and plain truth. You see, the truth is that Christ came to this earth. He died. He was resurrected. He ascended into heaven so that thanks to his grace, we might be with him for eternity. There is only one gospel. See, there are no other alternatives to eternal life. No compromising of the message. No private interpretation as to who Christ is and what he has done. No other explanation of Christ's crucifixion. No, his resurrection, his ascension. There are no other theories about those. They are all true and fact and provable. No theories or philosophies, no other spiritual explanations of how or why we might have eternal life without the death and the blood of Jesus Christ. We are so easily pulled and distracted to other thinking that we look for instant answers to life in other ways. But there's only one answer. There's only one truth. It is simple, and unfortunately, yet to many, as it says in Scripture, it's foolishness. That the truth is the gospel. That is the truth. I was reading in a book, it said there are few things that you can't change. You can't change the past, and you can't change the truth. And the truth is the gospel. And that is the good news of God's salvation offered to us by Jesus Christ. So now I'm going to read what Paul says about the gospel. That is why I'm so eager, as it says in the book of Romans. And he writes from prison to the Romans. And he's saying to them, look, I'm really eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. For I'm not ashamed of it. We shouldn't be ashamed of the fact that we tell people we believe in Jesus Christ and what that means. I'm not ashamed of it because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. He says, if you believe, God's power will bring you to that point, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. To everyone. It wasn't just to a specific group of people. And then he goes on in the preaching of the gospel of grace. And that's in Ephesians chapter 2. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, has made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our sin or in transgression. It is by grace you are saved. It's a gift that is given to us, and all we have to do in faith is believe and ask for it, and it is there. Once again, you don't donate. You don't have to do all kinds of things. There are no rituals that you have to go through. You don't have to walk on your knees up onto St. Joseph's oratory. What you do is you receive God's gift, his gift of grace. And that's what Paul was trying to say. It's so simple. You don't have to make it complicated. It's easy. In Ephesians 2, chapter 8, he continues to write. He says, for it's by grace that you're saved and receive salvation. Through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it's a gift. How many times at Christmas have you left unopened gifts under the Christmas tree? Hopefully none. But you know what? People leave this gift unopened all the time. And here is this gift waiting for us if you've not already opened it. It is the gift of God's grace of salvation. The gospel. This gift of grace is sin-conquering, sin-canceling, and life-transforming. It's what enables us to believe in Jesus Christ and believe in God. It gives us this faith. So those who receive Christ are no longer condemned. A full pardon. Not only a full pardon, a wiping out of our past record. And every time we goof up, make a mistake in each and every day, because it sometimes happens, you can just say, God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And he does. And that gift of grace is activated right away. In 2 Timothy, it says, he has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we've done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. This grace was always there, right from the beginning. So then we have to ask the question, well, how do I receive this gift? How do I receive this gift of grace? Well, in 2 Corinthians, it says, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. Yeah, I know repentance is a big word. People will use it, oh, that's just some religious word and it's whatever. It's very simple. What repentance means is I just want to change. I want to change from my old way of life, which is, you know, filled with in lawlessness, if you want to call it. We all have good intentions, but as the Bible says, we're all sinners. And so what he's saying is if you just say, I'm ashamed of what some of the things I've done in the past, I'm asking for forgiveness, and please help me to change. That's what repentance is about. And when you do that, you can receive Jesus Christ. And it says here, yet to all who did receive him, Jesus Christ, to those who believed in his name, so belief, grace gives us the faith to believe, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So if you've gone through that process, if you've just gone to Christ and said, I want to receive you in my life, we are then brought into the God family. Everybody. Everybody who's done that. So the point here is, well, I want to do this, but how am I going to change my life? How am I going to obey? And obedience is probably another negative word in this day and age. But God's grace will give you the desire to want to obey. By God's gift of grace, he gives you the desire to love in so many different ways. When we come to Christ and we believe in him and we receive him, and we receive his most precious gift, this gift of grace, we have salvation. Our love, our obedience, should reflect our gratitude of God's grace. Not because we're told to obey. Not because we are driven by fear or by guilt to obey. But out of heartfelt gratitude of God's grace, we're motivated and we desire to love God and we desire to love our neighbor. But just as we all know, and I'll put my name at the top of the list, we fail so many times in loving. And in loving in that we give, that we serve, that we are gentle, that we are kind, that we bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And that fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness. But as many of us know, and many of you are realizing, and many of you are experiencing, once you've received Christ and the Holy Spirit is in you, your life changes gradually, and you're going to find that this love grows, and this gift of grace just keeps on giving. It never, ever stops. And yeah, there are going to be moments in your life and you're going to say, oops, didn't mean to do it or say that. But that's okay. God says, come to me, and by my grace and by asking for forgiveness, you'll be forgiven. Do I have time? Yeah, I'll just do one little story. They put up a fence behind the parking lot of our apartment building. One afternoon, these guys come up and they put up a wire fence so that we can't go into the property or into the land on the other side of the parking lot. And there's a river there, which I really enjoy going to. Did a lot of photography there, and a beautiful place to see God's creation and to just have quiet time and so on. So they're putting up this fence. And I go to these guys and I say, what are you doing? Well, we're putting up this fence. We don't want anybody going on this land anymore. It doesn't belong to you. And we're tired of all the kids coming out here and playing and the dogs using it and blah, blah, blah. I said, yeah, but it's not, you can't do that. You know, you can't do that. You can't block us from that. What are we going to do? And to make the story really short, you know, some of them knew that I was a pastor. And one of this, and I blew my cool. I just said, you cannot do this. You can't block us. And I said, I know that this property is jointly owned by the people who own the apartment building. They say, and then they say back to me, well, go get the paperwork and the notary and show us that you own it. And I, by the way, I actually did. I said, okay, I will. Okay. And I was really, you know, I didn't swear at them, but I wasn't very nice. The guy, as he's leaving, he says, you're a pastor. I said, yeah. Yeah, it really sounds like it. And I'm thinking, oops. God, I need your grace right now, okay? And actually, about half an hour later, I went back to him and I talked to him at the fence and we patched up our keys. But this is the point. We're not perfect. God knows we're not perfect. And that's why Christ died on the cross, so that he makes us perfect in the sight of God the Father. And as he does that, he gives us the Holy Spirit so that as our life progresses, we can change to live a life based on love. And he's done all this because we didn't have to pay a bunch of money. We didn't have to go and do a whole bunch of extra service. He just gave us this by his grace. And that's the gospel of grace. So when we do receive Christ in our life, when we do receive him, then we can go to our Lord and Master and say, God, thank you for your grace. I humbly receive this amazing gift of grace that cannot be purchased, but has been purchased for me by the blood of Christ. We can go to our Lord and say, I'm looking to the cross, I'm not looking to myself, for freedom from guilt and the assurance of your love. I can go to the Lord and say, out of my gratitude for your grace and with heartfelt repentance, I pledge to love you with all my being and to serve you for your glory. So now the next question is, well, why are we given grace? Why bother? Why bother? In Hebrews chapter 9, it says, how much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God. Don't forget, Christ was a perfect person when he was hanging on that cross. That's why he could pay the penalty for our sin. He says, offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death. In other words, wipe out those things that we have done. So that, why? So that we may serve the living God. That's what we're being asked to do. And you know the interesting part about that? We think, oh, how am I going to serve? We're going to serve in the kingdom. Because that's one of the things he's got waiting for us to do. And it's not, you know, menial service. And that's another message that I'll get. What will we be doing in the kingdom? You'd be surprised the amazing things that are waiting for us to be done. But he's just saying, I'm giving you this grace as a child of God so that you will be able to serve and be in the kingdom forever. Forever. And when we are in him, with him, we will be in that place that John read about at the beginning of this service, that place that has been reserved for each of us. And that's why it's easy for, or it wasn't easy, but that is why Paul, when he wrote, this is a gospel. It is the good news of grace. It is the good news to all who believe. You see, grace, it's one of two things, just like blessings and cursings. It's either a refreshing relief in a very dry spiritual desert, or it's meaningless in this age of, well, whatever you like. I pick grace. That's how we should live. Because our future is huge in front of us. Despite the troubles that we encounter each and every day, we can just say, thanks to God's grace, we have a hope and a future that is immeasurable. So let me just close with a quick prayer. Great God, our Father in heaven, we just thank you for your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and that by your grace, by this amazing gift that you have given us, that we can look forward, not only in the future, but even now. We can experience part of the kingdom, but we can be assured that we have received eternal life by your grace for eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.